We're back!
Unfortunately.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of
P&B Unplugged.
It's good to see everybody out there in YouTube land tonight, and we have a very special guest on the podcast, only because... Not you. Only because we thought that... He was never going to give up until we let him be.
Self-invited guest.
It was finally a unanimous vote in the Roberts house.
You made it, Josh.
I made it. Now, I didn't realize that I would have to do this at 1 a.m, but hey. I appreciate the invite here. I mean, I figured you guys invited me at 1 so that I wouldn't be able to make it. But I'm free. My schedule's clear. I'm here tonight.
We didn't want paparazzi following you over here in the back away from here.
Got to be to work at 8:30, but it's all right. We'll make it happen tonight.
Hey,
I didn't see my kids before they went to sleep, but, you know, it's fine.
It's good to see y'all tonight or whatever, whenever you're watching this. We hope that you're enjoying these podcasts. And tonight's episode is special, seriously, in all seriousness. It is special because Josh Roberts is one of the pastors at our home church called Preaching Christ Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. And he's a great friend of ours, but he is also hilarious. And so we thought it would be fun to bring him on the podcast and just talk for a little while. And so, Autumn, what are you doing over there? What are you eating over there?
I'm absolutely putting away some popcorn.
What kind of popcorn do you have?
It is, okay.
It's not a just plain popcorn, I promise you.
I hate popcorn.
What?
You could not tell that by this empty bowl. But this is kettle corn, and it is peanut butter and jelly.
No, flavor. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's delicious.
Josh, do you like popcorn?
Right. Well, good. I'm not a big popcorn fan, but last night at the Appalachian Fair, they had kettle corn samples. Oh.
Kettle corn will tear me up every time.
Instead of paying $14 a bag, I just stood there at the sample thing and was like... I mean, after like 4 minutes, the guy's like, you know, it's time to move on, but... So I do like kettle corn.
You want some of this? I only have like 3 pieces left, but you're welcome to it.
Carmen, you say you don't have a microphone tonight. I'm sorry, but Carmen doesn't like popcorn either. That's so strange. Am I the only one that likes popcorn?
I love it.
I popcorn love trauma. Popcorn.
Okay, good.
I like movie theater popcorn.
Okay, well that's good. I love some butter. Popcorn. My grandmother, she used to have a bag of popcorn every night. Of course, they ate supper, what I call supper. They ate supper at 4:30 in the afternoon.
What if I chomp like that the whole episode? I'm almost done, I swear.
I thought Thank you were going to.
Goodness.
I'm like really, it's probably loud, sorry.
All right. So
well, it's almost 4:30 in the morning now, so I mean, we're about 12 hours since dinner.
I am sorry it's late. So... We're recording this tonight in Autumn and Caleb's home, and we are joined by a live studio audience here tonight.
Hey. Emma, shout.
Yeah. I don't know if that'll come through or not. I'm looking for this to be the most popular episode.
I'll put in a fake like clap right there.
Because we have all these things playing for us. We have a great guest. We have a live studio audience. We have a good set here tonight. And we have two.
You guys should see our spotlights.
We have two fur babies around here somewhere. One's up there on the cat tree.
Oh, yeah. Lilo
I wish you could
up.
See the baby.
And the other one is very angry, probably somewhere
yeah, he
that
hates people,
people
come over.
Have invaded his
okay,
space.
Okay, so nothing negative about ADHD people because okay. I am ADHD.
And
I'm going to tell you what's situation.
Are you
in
medicated
front of me.
For ADHD?
No, I'm not.
Neither is Caleb, so we're
and,
good.
And here's what's I'm facing a problem right now. There are 8 big square colored buttons in front of me, and I pressed like 2 of them already, and they haven't done anything. And before this podcast, I saw people press it, and like music.
Okay,
came on.
Now try it.
Okay. Now we're talking.
This one is my personal okay, favorite one.
Oh!
Sorry. Oh, don't spill anything.
So you are a pastor of a church.
Did you hear that?
What are you doing?
All right, Josh. So seriously, like you are a pastor.
You really are a pastor of a church. Is that right?
Well, you know what my favorite thing to say is. So I'm at Preaching Christ Church as the executive pastor. Everybody says, "What does that person do?" And I do HR, PR, and finance. They're my 3 main responsibilities.
So you hire and fire people.
I could. But, you know, I think most importantly, I love to tell everybody that at Preaching Christ Church, we have people in the right seats. Pastor Chad is a fantastic teacher. Absolutely. He's our lead pastor, and we're so glad that he's in the pulpit. And many, many times when vendors come in, Pastor Chad will say, I'd love to have you introduced to our executive pastor, Josh Roberts. And they say, are you brothers? And I said, no way. And he's like, I'm starting to get offended by that. I mean, you know, every time you open out like, we're not brothers, we're not related, we aren't related. But, you know, it's kind of difficult because, you know, in the ministry world, there's so many churches that are all family.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So you see on the website, Roberts, 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 and our Celebrate Recovery is a Roberts. He's not related. I'm not related.
This Daniel, is Daniel, that's right. Daniel Roberts, Josh Roberts, Chad Roberts.
And none of you are really related.
No, none of us are related.
That's crazy.
We all got the same uncle, brother. He built a big boat and put animals on it.
But one thing I'll say is on my first Sunday, I've been with Chad 5.5 years now at Preaching Christ Church, and on the first Sunday that he hired me, I thought I would bring a little bit of comedy on that Sunday morning.
I can't imagine that.
He introduced me, and I got up there, and I thought, I'm going to make a joke, you know? And so Chad's like, we're so glad to have Pastor Josh Roberts joining the team. And I was like, yeah, and I'm your first blind hire.
Boom. Oh, because, okay, just for those of you that don't know, our pastor, Chad Roberts, is a blind pastor. He's completely blind.
Well, let me just share with you, 585 people booed that joke. They thought that I was insulting him, and we had a great relationship. It was very funny. I mean, but they were like, boo.
Get him out. That is like, awesome.
No, really. I am his first blind hire. He did not ever have been able to see me.
In two
and
different ways.
And he immediately responded so quickly, and it's like, obviously, if I could, I wouldn't have hired him. And that broke it all, and we were able
that
to
is
move
great.
On.
That is great. That is great. Oh, great. Oh, man. Well, Pastor Chad, when I first started coming to Preaching Christ, which was
a long time ago.
A long, long time ago. And I knew Chad from working in Kingsport, and I just absolutely love to hear him preach the word, but I really have always felt like that Chad got even better as a minister after he went blind.
So I don't know, for those of you that don't follow, or Chad's, you know, our church app is called Awaken to Grace, and that's where all of his sermons are at. But I think people don't realize this, but since Chad's blindness, you know, we have done $250,000 renovation in our facility to our children's ministry. Our church has grown by 300% since blindness. We've purchased new property across town to build a brand new church. We're bursting at the seams. We just don't have any room for the people that are there. The parking is full. But, you know, this is a real testament to know, and I know the show isn't about Chad, but it's a real testament to know when you face something that you think is completely impossible, you can either give up or you can conquer.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think that he just took that and said, well, God calls me to preach. What do I need a notepad for?
Man, that's so true.
Yeah. Chad's something.
And doesn't he tell a story? You're right. We don't have to talk about Chad the whole time because
we'll
you're
have
the
to
guest.
Have him as a guest.
But we will have him as a guest at some point. But didn't he say at one time that right before he went blind that God had kind of prompted him to stop relying so heavily on
sermon notes,
for sure. Sermon notes.
And sometimes early on when I first met him and I didn't know exactly how he studied or how he would get all that, so I used to go behind while he was studying and he would have like the lights out and not know the lights were out and he would be talking to Alexa and creating, he would read the scriptures and then he would say, make a note of this, make a note of that, make a list of this, add this to my list, and then he would compile it in and memorize it all.
God.
And he would just be sitting there alone, you know, with his AI device and just studying and learning. And I just am amazed by hearing, he'll call out a word. Like he'll say, you know, turn to Hebrews 11:26. Look at this word specifically. And I'll be like, look at the word specifically. I mean, I haven't even looked at that verse in the Bible in 10 years. I mean, you know what the word is. I mean,
So okay. So how long have you been at the church?
I've been there 5.5 years.
Okay, and so your job is really more behind the scenes. So, do you preach from the pulpit?
No, I don't like to preach.
Pastor who doesn't like to preach.
No, I like to do all administrative. I like to be behind the scenes. You know, when they sit at staff meeting and say, who can take up the offering? Who can do the announcements? Who wants to do this? Who wants to do communion? Who wants to bring? And I'm like, nah.
That's so
strange. Nah, I just like the administrative side. And, you know, I just like, like money.
You
know?
You mean you like handling it?
Yes, yeah, handling the money, counting the money.
I will say this now. I've got to hear Josh preach one time.
Helping Jesus.
And it was, according to Josh, he's, oh, yeah, I didn't like it. And I was like,
have you ever heard his impression of you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Do you know that Chad called me a while back, Josh? And he had...
He was in like a meeting.
Yeah, I think Brad Lovell was there. And Sean Dolan, they're all in the office, and Chad's like, "Brother Caleb, I know you're busy, brother, and I don't really want to bother you, but do you have just a moment?" And I was like, "Yeah, Chad."
You thought it was like going to be something serious and like spiritual.
Said, and this is what he prefaced with: "I've got Brother Brad here, and I've got and Sean here. You know Sean?" I'm like, yeah, I love Sean, love these guys. I'm like, "What are we doing here, man? We making a big plan?" He said, "I was just going to see if you could talk like Josh." I was like, "What?"
So what did you say?
Said, "Well, Chad, you know, with my schedule, I just don't have time for all this."
So why don't you let's do this. So how long have you been in ministry? And where were you before? Kind of bring us up to speed.
So I've been in 28 years in full time ministry.
Wow. That's awesome.
I know I don't look that old. Thank you.
Me either.
Autumn.
But anyway, it was interesting when I was a young boy. I was serving in my home church. And I didn't really know what the call to ministry was, just knew I was serving in ministry all the time. And I would run vacation Bible schools for our church. And one day...
Like as a kid?
It's like a teenager. I would lead the vacation Bible schools.
Hey, can you get into the mic just a little bit?
Yeah.
Hello.
Exactly.
Okay, maybe not this. Like that.
I'm into
that's,
the mic
that's
now.
Good right there. That's
okay, perfect. So I was leading vacation Bible schools, and a gentleman from Brazil came and said to me, "What do you think about going over and running this vacation Bible school overseas?" And I was like,
"What?
I've never heard this story.
I would like to, I mean, let's talk about it." Well, I raised money, funded the money, and went over on a missions trip, and I trained 200 pastors, and we did a vacation Bible school for 5,000 kids in the middle of the jungle in Brazil in the Amazon.
Josh.
What?
Yeah, I lived there for 9 months. This was before I was married to Jen. And that's where the start to ministry came. I was in just going into college, and I thought I was going to become a school teacher. And I did teach school for 2 years, but I thought that's what was going to happen.
I went over
to Brazil and did a ministry over there, fed 5,000 in the middle of the jungle, lived a dream. Just some lots of stories behind that. But anyway, that's where I got my call to ministry, started studying and eventually went through the Assemblies of God to get certified and then licensed and then ordained. And here we are.
So you're Assemblies of God.
I am. I'm at a non-denominational church. Preaching Christ is not Assemblies of God, but that's where my endorsement's from. So that was the call to ministry, time of my life. And I met Jen during that time, and we've been married. I love when I hear your story at your concerts of how long you guys have all been together. Jen and I will be married 20 years on March the 11th.
That's awesome,
man. Yeah, so.
Amazing. Now, you have two kids.
We got twin. They're going to be 13 on September 18th. So twin 13-year-olds are in eighth grade.
Holy cow.
It's amazing. And my daughter, and this is why we're really connected to Phillips and Banks. Yeah, we like it. I mean, their music is fine. But but the real reason we're connected.
You know, Josh, in the contract that I sent you through email, it said not to disparage us in any way, shape, or form on the podcast.
It just came up right here. That's what it is. Shoot. Yeah, I clicked accept. But anyway, Olivia, which is the favorite guest of really everybody, is best friends with Emma. And so that's really where our connection is so tight.
Yeah, here. I guess that's true. However, I remember starting to get like phone calls from you, and then you would show up randomly at our concerts, and I really didn't know. And I'll be honest with you, when I first met you, I thought you hated me.
Oh, he does. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I'm an encourager.
Oh my goodness, the laughter.
I like to speak positive, encouraging things to traveling groups. And so I try to give Jacob a call a couple times a week and just speak encouragement and strength into him.
Oh my gosh.
It's like my support role, you know, admin support, you know, just
lying will send you to hell, Josh.
But the real reason I came was, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been trying to get on payroll for a long time here. And I mean, I'm finally on the podcast as the second guest. So too late.
So you got two kids, you got twins, and they'll be 13
September 18th.
September 18th. Now, Carmen's birthday is September 16th.
Okay.
And so is Joseph Habedank's. Fun fact.
All right.
Mm.
Fun fact. All right. So moving right along, let's see. Tell us about your son and all that kind of went down with that.
How long is this podcast? No, I'm just kidding.
It's usually about an hour long.
No. So just real briefly. So when Jen and I found out that Jen was pregnant, we went in for our first ultrasound, and they told us that we were going to have twins. Let me tell you something, people. I was like dancing like a hula dancer on top of the... I was like, yeah,
oh, you
twins.
Were excited.
Oh, I was thrilled. Jen's like, I don't want to have twins.
So you guys are opposites.
Opposites.
You just said that the other... We were walking away from something, and Josh looked at me, and it's hilarious because you and Jen, like, it's just Josh and Jen, you know?
Right.
But Josh looked at me and he said, you've never met two more opposite people.
Absolutely. So she was like, I don't want twins. And I'm like, this is fantastic. I mean, whatever. Well, anyway, we were very excited. Well, the next ultrasound we went back, they told us there were going to be triplets. And I was like, yo, I am the man. I mean, seriously. I mean, three in one shot, maybe.
I'm the man.
And Jen sat over there. She is crying. You know, she's like, this is a joke. I mean, there's no way. Well, anyway, in seriousness, there was a cyst in there. So in the early images, it looked like there was something additional in there. But anyway, we had the babies, and everything seemed okay. But for the first several months of having the twins, and for those of you that have twins out there or have one baby, let me just tell you, it is exhausting. you know, they don't sleep on the same schedule. You try to get them on the same schedule. I mean, one's up, one's down, it's just supernatural mother strength that has to happen. But in addition to having the twins, Elisha threw up about 15 times a day for 3 months.
Oh, man.
And so we obviously went to every physician you could possibly imagine locally. Then we went further out and just kept going until finally we found out that he was diagnosed with a brain tumor that he was born with. Mm. And so he was struggling with that. And, you know, we went through, for those of you, I tell you this story because I want to encourage you. You know, when you hear something and you don't have to accept what the doctor says that it is, you can continue to pursue until you feel like it's right as a parent. So we were told, like, oh, it's the formula. Well, amazingly enough, he's not on formula. He's allergic to soy. Well, he's never had soy. You know, so there's just so many things. Oh, it's a GI intestinal thing, and it'll go away. And, oh, you're a new parent. He just cries all the time. No, you don't understand. Like, I mean, 13 times, 15 times a day is a whole different story, you know, over everything I won't get into detail, but really bad throw up type of things. So we found out he had a brain tumor, and we decided to find the best care in the world. We traveled all over the nation. We went to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. We went to Johns Hopkins. We went to Vanderbilt. We went to, I mean, just all over the world. And then we ended up at St. Jude. So for those of you, I wore my St. Jude shirt tonight. St. Jude has been along the journey since the very beginning. And he went through 18 months of chemo at 18 months old. Wow. And some of the amazing things, just a shout out to one of the churches in Kingsport that we were serving at, Kingsport First Assembly. I was on staff there, and they just said, your job is to be a dad. We're going to pay your salary. We want you to go to St. Jude, and we want you to just take care of your family. Don't worry about anything. Your salary is going to be there every week.
Wow.
And we had a team that supported us, and we were able to move there. And so we spent several months over at St. Jude. And
is that in Memphis?
In Memphis, yeah. And just amazing stories. It's called The Miracle of Elisha. You can visit his Facebook page. And
yeah, we've actually
shared something.
We've shared some things about that on Phillips and Banks page. But Caleb, I remember the last time that there was a, not a scare, but you know, just you were over there doing testing and that sort
of
thing.
The surgery, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, for the surgery. And Caleb even brought it up at one of our services. And I still have a guy to this day. Actually, he just texted me 2 weeks ago. And he said, hey, how's Elisha?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's crazy that he remembered that, first of all.
Yeah.
And but Caleb had announced for the church to pray. And so Elisha is a miracle.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And
well, what's amazing is, you know, God's provision through all of this. You know, we chose as a family that we were not going to turn to depression and figuring out how we were going to handle this on our own. But we just turned it over to the Lord and said, you know, this is going to be our testimony. And while we were at St. Jude one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, and as you just heard, I don't like to preach, right? So the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you guys to go on this tour. And it's called the I Believe Tour. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're going through the thick of it. Elisha's on chemotherapy. And he's like, there's so many people that are going through things. And what I want you to do is share how you get through these things by depending on me through your faith. And so we did. And so on Sunday nights for 6 months, we went every Sunday night to churches all across the region, all across the nation, actually. And we had I Believe bracelets and I Believe t-shirts.
I took mine off a little while ago.
It wasn't about raising money. We didn't ask for money. We didn't raise money for anything because St. Jude took care of the costs. But we went and spoke about it and just encouraged people. And now, to this day, Miracle of Elisha has, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 followers. And I can tell you through those years, hundreds and hundreds of messages of people that were contemplating suicide, that their daughter was dying, that they've sent messages to us. How have you turned this around? We went to a camp up in Maine called Camp Sunshine, and they said, so you're a pastor. Well, how we handle with tough times are we turn to alcohol. We turn to drugs. We do prescription medication. We punch walls. We have tempers. Like, I mean, they just open up and tell how they're dealing with it. They're like, how are you dealing with that? And I'm like, well, we just put our faith in the Lord, and we know that, you know, God's going to take care of us. And here we are 13 years later. Eli played in two flag football games tonight. He's one of the smartest in his class. And, you know, he's just prospering because, you know, the Lord is fulfilling a miracle.
I shared about the putt-putt tournament a few weeks back. I got to go play in. And
that was to raise money for St. Jude. Yeah.
For St. Jude. He was not happy that I was on his dad's team.
Well, Caleb's like the real popular member of the Phillips and Banks group in my home.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know, I don't know if you've been to a Phillips and Banks concert, and if you haven't, you're missing out. But when you go to the concert, at the end of the concert, you know how at the end of a wedding, there's a receiving line? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the receiving line for Caleb. Like, it's the hug line, and like, it's lined out the back, and the rest of the band is like wrapping up the stuff and loading the trailer, and Caleb's like, yeah, I'm just giving my hugs out, you know. So
yeah, it's true.
But
it's true.
But anyway, Eli wanted Caleb to be his coach for his team. And I was like, no, you know, Caleb really needs to be on my team. And, you know, it's just, you know, so.
I bet after he saw Caleb play putt-putt, he was really glad he wasn't on his
heartbroken.
Well, let me
this.
Tell you what, because Eli is really competitive and so am I was like, you can have Caleb next year. I mean, I mean he was fun and all, but I mean.
pretty bad.
Yeah, it's rough. But anyway, we are through that. We were through that season and, you know, we went through 10 years of stability. And again, it wasn't an easy 10 years, right? We had lots of issues. We went to St. Jude every 3 months for years and years and years. But we got really, really bad news last year, and we were just blown away. The tumor had grown in a significant area, and one of our miracle-working surgeons had decided to take a piece out of it. So he went in for open brain surgery in December of 2024. Mm-hmm. And then on I'm just telling you, God loves to just show up. And, you know, we just put our trust in him. We knew we had the faith that this was going to happen. It was the right thing. We prayed through. And let me tell you something. Lots of people will say negative things. Lots of people will talk about medical thing. Don't do this. Don't take this med. Don't do this. Don't go there. Put your trust in the Lord. Pray to him. He'll give you the answer.
Yeah.
Nobody wants better than you know, their parents. And we chose to go ahead with the surgery. And on January 18th, he was on the soccer field playing for Robinson Middle School for their first soccer. And just, you know, show up and show out. And, you know, you put your faith in and the Lord answers. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to that story. Maybe their child didn't have to have, you know, brain surgery or a brain tumor, but everybody's walking through something. And so I think that's really relatable for you to share those stories with people and even do that tour. And I think that's why it was received so well, is because people see that, you know, okay, there's other people that are walking through these horrible things and they're turning to God.
And I think so. That's so true, because the other thing is, you know, we really think that we can handle everything, right? We're tough enough. We can, you know, we got big shoulders. We can carry it all. You know, we got to St. Jude and I was like, I mean, where am I going to have income from? I mean, we can't work. Like, how is that going to work? I can't do anything. What am I going to do here? And I get it, walk into the St. Jude cafeteria. This is many, many years ago. This young lady, this nurse, she comes up and she says, I've got a secret to tell you. She goes, I'm not allowed to talk about this. But she said, I want to tell you something. There's an organization over here that's called Hope. And she said, call Hope, and I think they're going to be able to help you. And Hope provided us 4 months of free housing in an apartment across the street from St. Jude for our family of four.
Wow.
No charges, no, just all God, you know, just rolled out the carpet and was like, so we walked every day to St. Jude. We didn't have to ride. We didn't have to drive. You know, our parents could come in and stay at this apartment. And, you
amazing.
Know,
amazing.
It's just God paved the way. And then the church, I flew in and told our church about it. We had a service and we told the church about what was happening. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you come back when you come back. You've been faithful to our church. We're going to be faithful to you. We've got your, you know, we've got you taken care of. And for those of you that always wonder, like, is St. Jude really what it's all about, right? Is St. Jude where you send? Listen, we're a family. We are receiving it. It is not going to these top executives that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's going directly to families. Mm-hmm. They fly two parents and a patient every time that we have to go to St. Jude. All of our medical bills are covered. There's never a bill from St. Jude. Our housing is taken care of. We get food cards every time we're there. And now they've changed the dynamic. When we first went, it was kind of a dingy hospital feeling that we were really depressed. It's a whole different animal. Eli wants to stay for several days. Domino's is their largest donor. They just donated $150 million family housing facility that has everything you could imagine there. So every time you buy a Domino's pizza, it's going to St. Jude. But
good to know.
You know, it's really, it's really amazing. It's really amazing.
But. So Autumn has a funny story about St. Jude.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to say her name because she might randomly watch this and get mad at me, but somebody, it's my cousin Allie. She lives in my basement. She's not here. She's at work right now. Anyway, when she was little, she was in the back seat of her mom's car, my aunt's car, And she was looking out her window and she said, "Mom, what does stajid mean?" And she said, "What? Stajid, S-T-J-U-D-E. And my aunt said, "That is St. Jude's."
Somebody had a bumper sticker on their car.
Support bumper sticker.
What is Stajid?
So we call it Stajid still. Stajid.
We were living in Florida. Won't get lost in the weeds, but we served at several different churches.
No, it's okay to get lost in the weeds.
We were serving at several different churches, and we were at a church in Florida, and we were at the Sandestin Outlets. If you've ever been down there by the beach, it's this beautiful outlet. And they had a St. Jude logo in the store window. And so we took Eli's picture on the miracle of Elisha, and we, you know, snapped his selfie shot next to the St. Jude. And he's like, "Hey, St. Jude, you know, here at this thing." So that afternoon, they sent a message to the miracle of Elisha page, and they got a gift basket together of all the stores in the Sandestin with gift cards.
That is so cool.
And we're like, "Hey, we just want to thank you for supporting Sandestin." And
wow.
So St. Jude's a big family.
Yeah, that is really cool. So tell us a little bit about, before all of that, I know you've shared with me before about doing child evangelism and traveling, and you weren't necessarily like a, I was always unclear about whether that was like a part of a church ministry or whether that was just you doing that, or how did that all come to be?
Yeah, so from my home church, you know, just we talked about, you know, being called into missions, really from the home church, several missions trips, but, you know, I became a children's pastor for really maybe 18 years of my career. And you know what they always say is so many children's pastors go from children's pastors to become executive pastors because the largest team in a church is always the children's ministry team. So like in Florida, we led a team of 250 adult volunteers with 600 children. So you can imagine 850 people, that is a church, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
You know, so the administrative side of scheduling all these people in the rooms and making sure people are trained and their curriculums, it led into the administrative side of leading churches. And I just knew that my call was to be, and I do, I love to be funny and I love to, to, you know, hang with people and be with people. But, you know, my number one call is to be the number two chair. You know, I read this book the other day about being the second chair. And that's what I love to do at our church. I love to lift up our pastor's arms, support him so he can study and preach and bring the word. And the operations of the church will be handled by me so he can go out and share the word all over the world.
Man, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Well, you can finish in just a second because you still haven't answered my question.
Politician.
But I was going to say, I bet if there are any pastors out there watching this podcast, I guarantee you that what you just said made them want to have somebody like that in their corner, because I can't imagine having the, you know, a church of 800. How many are at the church?
We're about 700 right now.
Okay, so two services. You got a church of 700 and some people, and you're trying to run the day-to-day operations, plus on top of that, the finances, the HR, and the, you know, paying the bills and all those things. I just can't imagine how much time and mental capacity that would take. So,
well, for all those pastors out there, my email address, I can do things remotely. I can work on the side. If you have six-figure salary positions open, I'm your guy.
Hey, by the way, Josh is truly a God-called minister. And he, it's not about the money. It's really
no.
But if you'll sow a seed, I was thinking about that. I saw a post, somebody had taken a picture of Chad. I didn't figure he was doing his own selfie, you know, but he'd made a post like about how he was preaching. You guys went to Switzerland last year, was helping that church, Josh, and he was online preaching for the conference.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how often Chad is able to do that during the day. Work on Awaken to Grace. He's got a book that he's getting ready to come. Like, there's no way that he could do that without having somebody else to kind of make sure everything's going.
And, you know, for those of you pastors that are out there listening, you know, let me say this. It's hard work to study and prepare messages. Oh, you know, I mean, I know Jacob's dad's been a pastor for a long time, and it's, you know, you don't just jot a few notes down and be like, okay, I'm going to go up there and make it happen. But you know, it's amazing to me in my 20 plus years serving in churches, I've noticed that more pastors spend time off office hours preparing their messages because they are busy with all of these other things during the week and they're missing their home lives. They're missing so much in their life because they're at home studying or they're going in Friday, Saturday nights, hours on end studying for their sermon.
That's one thing I've always respected about you, Josh, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I'm not just trying to make a joke, but because there are a lot of things about you that I don't respect. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but one thing that I have always one thing I always have respected about Josh is he makes time for his family.
Yeah.
And you see that, you know, mostly because you're going on vacation every other week, but you do see that Josh is also a collegiate volleyball referee, and so he does all these different things, but he still always makes time for his kids and for his wife. And
and to make those vacations happen, there's going to be a link below with my Venmo.
What I was trying to
QR code.
Dear Lord, what I was trying to get at was that when I first started in ministry, which was 2010, so that was 16 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I was fresh out of college, and all I knew how to do was work. And I was raised in a home where you worked for what you got. And that's a good thing, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. However, when I first started into ministry, I was like, you know, like all in, 100%. Mm-hmm. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But I found myself many times during the 7-year period where I was at the other ministry job where I was completely worn out and burn out, and I have tried to look at men like you and other people in my life that have kind of taught me, you know, if you're going to have time with your family, if you're going to have time with your children, if you're going to have, you've got to prioritize that time. Mm-hmm. You've got to make that time.
You know, there's several times in ministry, you know.
That's fine. Just go ahead and interrupt
me. I will. Yeah. There's several. I didn't want you to get too deep. But, you know, there's several times in ministry where ministry interrupts life. And, you know, one day, even while I was at Preaching Christ Church in the last couple of years, you know, this meeting was running long and this lady had a major issue and she had to come and she was really stressed out. She said, I got to meet with you. And she came and we had another lady there. And I stopped and said, I'm going to have to push pause because I have to pick up my daughter from school right now. And, you know, sometimes we get so distracted that we can't push pause. I mean, that lady's going to be there. Her issue's going to be there. But we're not going to leave, you know, a 10-year-old stranded at the church at that moment, yeah. You know, at the school. But, I mean, I say those things to say it is a way to balance. But, you know, being a dad is the greatest calling on our lives, right? And I can tell you this, for those of you that know Jacob, for those of you that know me, you will know that nothing comes before our family, you know, and that's what we have to do. That's what God calls us to do. He wants us to serve the church, and he wants us to put God first and our spouse next and then our children, and we do that, but you just got to make sure that your calling's in order, that the church comes below those. You know, and God respects that even more than serving at the church. He respects that you're serving your family first.
I'm just going to throw this in there. I've known you for how long? How many years?
Well, normally I would ask you that. You'd say too long.
How long?
4 or 5 years, probably.
Four or five years.
Probably as long as you've been there. Yeah. Not as well as you know him now, but.
So this is the most serious conversation I've ever had with Josh Roberts.
Well, remember, this is for you. And our studio audience. Okay.
Who's on their phone right now?
She ain't even paying attention.
All right. So I do want you to... I do want you to finish about the child event, the traveling and
so,
all that.
Yeah, so, you know, we gave it a run with a nonprofit organization that we went out and did kids camps from all across the country. And we were on the road traveling and, you know, again, the demand and the time and, you know, our kids were young and it was just time to settle down at a church to go full time. So I was always affiliated with a church, but I was known in a national realm with the Assemblies of God. So I was called to do camps and all of the churches I served at were supportive for me to be able to go in the summer and minister at these camps and do children's evangelism and then work for the rest of the year in the local church.
Okay. And one other question, one fun thing that I want to talk about. Tell us about being a collegiate referee.
Hold on just a second. This is my daughter, Emma, saying goodnight.
We're pausing.
So collegiate volleyball, referee.
Collegiate volleyball
referee.
Where
did that come from?
My dad was a referee for 40 years, and I followed along. Still doing it.
Referee?
No. He just did high school volleyball, high school basketball. And so I followed in his footsteps. Again, just like we talk about family, my dad took me with him to volleyball refereeing since I was 5 years old. So
and
I
you're originally from?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
We couldn't
Josh,
tell.
Josh, the other
He's
day.
He's from Pennsylvania.
It's that good voice.
We had a lunch together and some friends I hadn't met yet. And so Josh said he got a call. I'm probably not supposed to share this.
It's
so,
okay.
But they called him. So he could explain this new rule to his
Oh,
dad.
This is classic. This is
like,
classic.
What?
So this rules interpreter from Pennsylvania called me the other day.
And rules interpreter.
She interprets the rules for the sport of volleyball.
Now, you are Assemblies of God. That's nothing like...
No. It's not tongues and interpretation. We'll talk about that later. But I'm at an independent Baptist church right now. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. No. But anyway, she's a rules interpreter, and she interprets the rules and teaches coaches and officials what those rules are. Well, she called me, and she's like, hey, you know, I used to be a part of that chapter in Pennsylvania all these years ago, and she called and said, I could really use your help, and could you talk to me a little bit about this rule, and there's lots of rule changes in volleyball. Could you help me? So I walked her through things, and she's so kind.
Because now Josh is a gold badge, dude. He's...
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
he's only told me 30,000 times.
I flex on that because I know him.
So
I've been on ESPN
But anyway,
one time
let me tell you what happened. So the lady says, well, she's like, some of our veteran officials are having difficulty with the new rules. So I'm asking if you could help me talk to the veteran officials about what the new rules mean and what you're supposed to do. I was like, well, what do you mean? How would I talk to them? Like, I mean, I'm in Tennessee, you're in Pennsylvania. I mean, you're the rules interpreter. She's like, the key person that's giving me a little trouble is your dad. And I was like, I'll call him tonight.
Yeah,
I'll let him know what's going on, you know. But
that's great.
But my dad and I, we got to, before I left Pennsylvania, my dad and I were called to referee the Pennsylvania State Championships together.
Oh man.
And so we got to go together and we were there in the locker room. And there's in volleyball, there's a first referee that's in charge of the match, a second referee that's on the floor. And I was scheduled that night as the first referee. And I was like, Dad, I'm so glad that we're working together, but I'm even more glad that they picked the right referee to be in charge of this match.
sounds exactly like you.
Oh, gosh. But we did get to do that together. And he's still working. But thankfully to him, because I started following along when I was 5 years old. So by the time I was 20, I was elevated into the area of the college world really fast.
Oh, so you were a nepo baby.
Yes, I was. Absolutely. But I was
kinda
pushed
like
up.
Olivia.
Yeah, I was pushed up. And, you know, so by the time 25, I was in my peak, being able to really referee some big games. And so just recently, This is fresh news. I mean, this is newer than news. Like, I mean, if people are still listening to this podcast right now, they're going to find out that this is big news. So whatever minute we're at.
We are at minute 46.
Okay, minute 46. So just recently, I was elected to be the trainer for the East Tennessee Board of Officials. So now I train collegiate referees on how to do things the right way and help them advance to the next level. So we just had that election. I was announced on Sunday. So it's pretty cool. It's fun. Fun job. Yeah, so fun thing.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, so.
So whoever's taking Josh's classes, good luck. Oh, man. Coaches hate him.
But no, my favorite thing is actually the guys know both Jacob and Caleb have been able to go with me on the road. Yeah. And my favorite thing is to do replay.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
It's my favorite thing to do. I love to go on replay. And
The match that I went with Josh on was to Marshall. And he took me to this place to eat called Fat Patty's.
Yes.
And it was delicious. Actually, while we were there, we went twice.
Yes, we did.
We did. We sure did. We went before the match, and then after the match, we went back over there and got more food.
Yes, we did.
It was really great. And was that match televised?
It was televised.
I thought so.
And by the way, hey, listen, this goes right into the music world. So I really wanted Jacob to sing the national anthem at Marshall. So I contacted the people.
He tried every which way in the world.
I contacted the people. I was like, hey, I want Jacob to be to sing. You know, he's a professional singer. I mean, I embellished a little bit, but you know, I really wanted him to sing the national anthem.
I have no idea why I'm your friend.
Well, we get there, and so anyway, they were like, oh, he's got to send a demo. Remember, and all this stuff, whatever. Well, it didn't work out. And so they
didn't send a demo, so don't think I sent one and they turned me down.
Yeah. Well, I sent them the website. So no, but anyway, seriously, it didn't work out. But we were there that night and I was standing on the side and it was televised. And this girl, she belted the worst version of the national anthem that night. I thought, man, if you can't get on over this girl right here, hey, we got a long road ahead of us with Phillips and Max.
Now, if it had been Caleb.
Caleb.
Ah.
Listen,
they did ask me to pray when we went. I'm kidding.
Hey, speaking of Caleb, let's talk real quick about that. So Caleb went with me, and
Liberty,
you know,
baby.
When we're in some of these televised matches, you know, you don't just like go up and talk to people. You know, it's pretty serious. You know, we're paid a decent amount of money. It's a professional thing that we do, and so I'm over there. I got my headsets on. I'm talking to the cameramen. They're outside of the thing, whatever. I'm going out there, whatever. And the producer comes on the headset, and he's like, "Your buddy Caleb's the man." Like, where is this producer? Who is this guy? What do you mean, Caleb? Where's Caleb? I'm looking around. I had put him behind the bench. He's not there. I'm like, "Where's Caleb?" I look over there. He's yucking it up with the producer of the television.
For ESPN?
Yes. He's chatting with the producer over there. Caleb's over there like this. You know, I'm on that.
That is so Caleb.
Well, Autumn sent me a picture, and I mean, I'm probably sitting just like I am right here, fat and sassy.
With your hamburger meat hanging out?
Well, yeah. And I had a pile of nachos. At this point now, I just started getting a little bit of vision back in my right side. So I still couldn't see anything to drive. Josh just took me to keep him awake.
Mm-hmm.
So well,
I'm struggling with right at the moment, actually.
Because it's 4 in the morning.
I'm sitting 2 rows back from the, I don't know. I'm like, I'm just going to sit right here because I could see Josh right there pretty good. Well, I didn't think about it. I'm really, really close. When those girls serve that ball on collegiate level, brother, they mean business.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
So a couple times out here,
you're like front row.
Serious,
yeah.
Man. So anyways,
like I'm on the Brady Bunch when Marsha gets hit with the football. Yeah. My nose.
Well, Josh, he's like, "You're going to be okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'll feel my way up here to the snack." I can smell the
Josh.
Nachos, brother.
Yeah.
So I was sniffing them nachos out. I knew what I wanted.
He's like a bloodhound.
So I got up there, and I'm sitting here, and I get this text from Autumn, which my screen's like, you know, 100%.
As huge as you could get it.
And I'm looking down, and she says, "You're on ESPN," and she sent me a picture. Josh is over here looking real official, and then behind her is this fat guy eating nachos. me. I was like,
Autumn, that reminds me of the whole Seinfeld game. Episode when when George was eating the sundae.
Oh my gosh. You know? I love Seinfeld.
Oh gosh.
Well, so, we had fun, man.
What, John? And then Josh, so, go ahead.
Where'd you take us to eat? Texas Roadhouse.
We went to Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, no, nah, you got nothing on fat patties.
But we get a per diem as referees. Oh, yes. And I walked in there. I said to Caleb, listen, I know you're diabetic, but the school is paying for this. we got to make this.
Order whatever you want. I was like, oh, okay.
You get the biggest steak they had?
No, I did not. I ate a couple. I was trying to be good because Autumn already threatened. If the food wasn't going to kill me, she was going to if I didn't eat right.
I don't. When I can admit this. I have some control issues, but it comes from a place of care and also trauma. So when Caleb leaves the house, I'm like, all right, here's the rules. You're not allowed to eat X, Y, and Z. You have to take your blood sugar, correct your blood sugar, drink water, and then come home.
That was Josh told me last night he was going to go see Big Daddy Weave. And he said, now listen, when I get there, I plan on eating something pretty not great for you.
Yeah. When I get there, I'm going to eat some garbage.
So if
for
I
sure.
came with him, that's what he is warning me. You're going to have to.
Everybody all right, I'm probably going to lose the trainer position by saying this, but I'm going to share one more thing. So we're going in, and you know, when you're going into these schools, and I'm not going to mention the school's name or else I really will never go back. But, you know, I was like, Caleb, what do you got in that bag that you're carrying? Your insulin? He's like, no, there's actually a weapon in there. I'm like, Caleb.
You cannot do that.
We don't go through the metal detector as referees.
You can't carry a weapon into the school.
So we put it back in the car before we got in there. Well,
so that you didn't wind up in jail.
Back in prison.
Yes.
Let's just walk it back. I was like, sorry, man. I wasn't.
Well, thank you guys for watching tonight. Thank you, Pastor Josh. Josh.
I'll be back next week at 8:45.
Hey, I've really enjoyed this. Thank you for being on the show. And thank you for all that you do for our church and for the Lord and for your family. And
for sure. I'm so glad that's recorded.
Here's what I
hope. Really don't know how to compliment this man because, So, and also thank you for your support of Phillips and Banks too.
Sure,
absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
After you watch this episode, you can tell your friends or anybody who hasn't seen this. If you've ever wondered for the last 14 episodes who Josh Roberts is,
we probably mentioned you like every time.
You're gonna figure it out on this one.
And listen, when Josh Roberts returns to Phillips and Banks Unplugged, we will talk about the road trip with Phillips and Banks.
Yeah, now that'll garner some attention.
He did go on one trip with us.
And then
and
he said never
the cruise.
Again.
And no, yes, that's right. So two trips technically.
Now he went for the string session too.
String session? Yeah.
Okay, so we could talk about all kinds of road trips.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I broke the table in the RV. I mean, I was sleeping back there and the table fell. Carmen came to help me. I mean, we got lots of stories we could tell about that
all right,
trip.
Yeah. So obviously, Josh is a pastor. He's a comedian. He's a referee. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's
Venmo's on the bottom.
He's all kinds of things. So
he's
hey,
our best friend.
Seriously, will you tell them the website for the church and the website for Awaken to Grace,
yes.
All that stuff?
JoshRoberts.com.
Here we go.
PreachingChristChurch.com, AwakenToGrace.com. Remember, the app for Awaken to Grace is completely free. Go on there, download it. It's got music, sermons, everything we do at the church. It's a mission. And these guys are able to listen to that on a weekly basis. You'll be blessed.
We use it on the road all the time.
I'll put some links down below for... So you can download the app. I'll put all the links down below. And I'll put a link too. You guys won't care. I'll put a link down below, like a donation link to St. Jude's as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, do you guys, one last thing. Do you guys watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
No.
I love it.
Did you ever see where Raymond got the honorary doctorate given to him and he thanked everybody in his family But he forgot his wife. I forgot to mention Jen in this episode. Thank you, Jen, for everything you've done in the ministry. I didn't want to forget you before we're done here. So.
Okay, so.
She had the divorce papers drawn up already.
We didn't make it to 20. It was 19 years and 6 months.
So, Caleb, why don't you tell them about what they need to do for us, and then we'll go.
All right, yeah. If you're not already following our page, go in there and click the little... Thank you, babe. Click the bell and subscribe to our YouTube page. If you're not checking us out,
it wasn't liquid that time.
On Tuesday nights over on our Facebook page, you can go and check that out. Or our website,
PhillipsandBanks.com. You can find out everything about the ministry, whether you're looking for who we are, whether you're looking for videos or music samples. All of that is available at PhillipsandBanks.com, including our schedule. And we would love for you to come out and hear a live concert. Or just check us out online.
And things will pick up.
Eventually.
So, and also, I haven't talked about this, but Carmen's been in there tinkering around on our website a little bit, too. So, go out there and check it out and see what changes she's made. I like it. I think it looks cool. So,
absolutely. All right, guys. Well, listen, we are... Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Yes.
He's the only thing we can see right now. All right, guys. We're out like Meemaw's teeth. Good night. God bless you. We'll see you next time.